Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hello and welcome to Fat Mascara. I missed you guys so much last week. Jess, hi. How are you?
Hi. Welcome back.
You did such a great interview with Juliana. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you very much. We missed you very much, though.
Well, here I am. We have lots to talk about.
Lots.
So why don't you fill everybody in?
Okay. First, as we welcome you back, you are going to be leading us through an ode to a beauty legend. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Olaplex. We have a listener question about it. And then I'm going to talk about the new thing that I learned about, French girl nothingness.
French girl nothingness?
Yeah, it's a new term.
I want French girl somethingness, but we'll get into that. Our guest today is just a delight. We have a pharmacist. I think this is our first ever pharmacist. Ian Ginsberg is the president of C.O. Bigelow. Not only do they make their own bath and body products, he has a family
and
run.
And dog medications.
And dog medications. He runs a village apothecary in Greenwich Village, New York. They have been in business for like almost 200 years. And he's going to give us, we're doing something special. We asked him for some of his most popular and most interesting customer service questions. And we're going to go through those together and share some info about his business.
He was baller.
He was super fun. And there was a little bit of housekeeping, right? A
little bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Okay. So we are starting something. Those of you who follow, which really should be all of you, seriously, follow us on Instagram at Fat Mascara. We are doing something every week now called Fat Mascara Faves. So we tell you what we like every week on Fat Mascara, our favorite products and stuff. We want to know what you guys like. So upload, you know, take a photo of your favorite products.
We'll prompt you on it. Usually on Tuesday we've been
on
doing.
On Tuesday we've been prompting, okay? Tiffany, like, you know, bless, you have been leading the charge here. Intern Tiff, okay? Intern Tiff, okay? Hashtag take a product, your favorite product, or whatever you're loving right now, at Fat Mascara, tag it at Fat Mascara, put a hashtag at, hashtag Fat Mascara Faves, and bam, put it up. We will, if we love it, and chances are we will repost it and we'll go to our highlight reel and you can see every Fat Mascara fave that the Fat Mascara fam is loving right now.
I know, and our listeners are such beauty obsessive, so these are good picks.
I have to say I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing right now.
Quality caliber listeners and quality caliber products.
I've actually been really inspired and I've seen a lot of things that brands have never even heard of right now. And I've even
seen people are stumping you.
I've been stumped.
That's cool.
I've also seen a lot of products that we've talked about too.
All right. So Fat Mascara Faves. Now let's do the show.
Jen, I missed you last week.
I know.
And I know that last week was tough for you.
I know. Grandma Ruby passed away. And you, can I just say, you were so lovely when I got back to the office. Jess came over and she brought me a card and we actually sat in the beauty closet. And we just were both sharing stories about our grandmothers who are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a nice moment to not like be sad, but to like celebrate her. So, and Jess asked, can you talk about it on the show? And God damn it, I would love to. And Grandma Ruby would freaking love me to.
I think you have to celebrate people. You need to celebrate people.
Yeah. And you know what I realized as I was telling stories about her to you and to other people over the course of the last week? I think she might have been like my beauty, like inspiration, which I never really put together because I'm really a tomboy. I'm kind of dorky, whatever. But I have this love for beauty. And going back, I think that Grandma Ruby instilled it in me in a couple ways. So remember we were talking about Color Me Beautiful, like the swatches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like I remember one of my first like experiences with makeup was me and Grandma Ruby got colored and she was a summer and I was a winter. And we convinced her to stop dyeing her hair brown and let it grow in white, snow white.
Wow.
Which just like her cheeks looked pinker and everything. And I remember doing that with her. And then this story that I'm going to miss this so much. So like we would get in trouble, me and my grandma, like, we would sit in synagogue sometimes or just at like parties. I would always go sit next to her because she was such a good, like, she gave you the goss. But she had her upper arms were like really flabby. This is going to sound mean, but it was like my favorite thing to do. She called them potchkes. I think that's a Yiddish word, maybe.
Yeah.
And I would sit there and she would talk to me and I'd hold her hand and just like swing them back. Like I would just like pat them. Like they would just be flapping in the wind, her potchkes.
And did she love it?
Oh my God. She was not self-conscious about them at all. She thought they were fun too. And like, honestly, there's just this texture thing I'm going to miss about her because her hands were lovely and I would always hold her hand and like just like stroke the back of her arm. And she always gave me tickle scratch. Like she called it Ainunu.
That's so funny.
She had words for everything. And the last story I wanted to mention, because
don't have to relegate yourself to a last story. But
I could go on and on about Grandma Ruby. Wait, one non-beauty story, then one beauty story.
Whatever. Okay. Go on.
She had this car, Gremlin is like this 1970s car. It was the ugliest car, but hers was like maybe a brownish kind of color, and she was getting it repainted. So she was a painter, and she picked the paint swatch, but it was small. And so when the car came back, it was bright orange, like Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, like
orange.
It didn't translate from the small.
No,
thing
so to, she okay. went from having like a middle tone brown car to this bright orange car, and everybody was making fun of her, and she would pick me up at school. So she came one day, and it was in October. She cut out black construction paper jack-o'-lantern face, taped it to the side of the car, so the whole car like was kind of pumpkin shaped. It was such an ugly car, and rolled up to pick me up at school with like her car turned into a pumpkin, just cause. She just always did things like that. But the last thing is, I know you and I both love fragrance, and fragrance is like, it can bring a person back to you. Like I'm going to miss holding her hand and stuff, but I smelled her smell was, she called it fufu juice, first of all, because she didn't say perfume. She said fufu juice. Get me fufu juice. But she had good taste. You know what she wanted?
What did she want?
Guerlain's Shalimar.
A chic,
but that stuff's pretty
glamorous.
Too. It's like a vanilla. It's just the most beautiful, like an oriental, but not one of those like in-your-face patchouli orientals. Have you smelled it?
Of course, yeah.
So forever, like I've already missed her so many times, but I'm going to just make someone light up a cigarette and spray some Shalimar.
Oh, those go well together.
So well. Like the smoky of the cigarette.
Yeah.
The smell of cigarettes to this day does not bother me. It's a comforting smell because it smells like Grandma Ruby. Yeah. You put a little Shalimar in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not her, but
I think
I wanted to give her a little, like, just share her with you guys. I've mentioned her before.
You told me one more funny thing.
What?
And we can cut this if you're not comfortable.
No, I'm comfortable.
That she like was very like, she was very like judicious with how much she sprayed or used till the very end. That was like the funniest thing to me.
So Grandma Ruby, she was awesome about like growing old. She wasn't scared of passing or anything. And she was in assisted living and then moved from the apartment to like she was in like nursing care towards the end. And the Shalimar came with her and she wasn't wearing it as much.
And it was Eau de Parfum. This was not Eau de Toilette.
No. It was like the oil, like the good, good.
Yeah.
And so my mom
this
was
not $65. This was like, we're talking three digits.
Eau de Parfum of Shalimar.
It's very
like,
expensive.
Yeah. So my mom was over and she was talking about it. I wasn't there for this. And she said, well, where is the fufu juice? Like, what do you mean? And she told my mom that she hid it in the back of her dresser, like drawer. She's like, because the aides, they come in and they spray it. Like, she just didn't want them to be, like, spraying her expensive perfume. So she's, like, hiding it in her little drawer. Like, she had her wits about
that's
her to the very end.
That's my favorite
Such
thing about
her. Such a grandma thing, right?
It's so, like, I love the street savvy. Yeah. And I love the, like, this is mine.
Like, she's French and fabulous and gorgeous, but then she's like, but you gotta hide that shit.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I love the duality of
and
Grandma
that,
Ruby.
That's actually, I'm glad you prompted that because that's who she was. She was like classy lady, but also like.
But like, she does not take
suffered.
No fools.
No, yeah. No. So thanks for letting me share.
No.
And just like, yeah, everybody's been really sweet about it. And I'm sure she's going to come up again because she's such like a legend in my life. So
I think I thank you for sharing that. And I think, you know, I feel like everyone would be lucky enough to relate to how you feel right now. So. I send my love to you and your fam.
Thanks. Okay, so I got through that. So that's not so bad. Mm-hmm. Take my mind off it. Let's talk about Olaplex.
Olaplex.
Yes.
That's the mood lifter here, you know?
On Fat Mascara it is.
Olaplex.
Let's talk about those bond builders. We got a listener question, right?
Yeah, okay. Mara's going to save the day here. Mara, our listener, said that she stopped highlighting her hair 2 years ago to give it a rest from bleach. She said it's growing out slowly, so she's got a lot of damaged, dry, highlighted hair left. She did not send us a picture. She says nothing she uses seems to help soften it up. She wants to try Olaplex, but she cannot afford to risk wasting even more money. But she wants to invest in it. She wants to invest in it if it really is a miracle worker. Any tips? So I got on the case. And I called up Barb Thompson, one of my favorite stylists at the Pine Petaluma. She also works with Orbe, so I see her a lot in New York. So I said, Barb, what the dealio?
What did Barb
okay.
say?
Barb had some really sage advice. And she said to go around, like, sniffing around for Olaplex and, like, you know, demanding it or not that this girl demanded. But this is really a conversation between you and the stylist. A stylist should be the person to tell you if you need Olaplex. You, and this is what, I mean, Olaplex got so big that everyone's like, I need Olaplex.
And we should clarify, there is both the in-salon builder
Jen.
Olaplex, which colorists mix in with the color mm-hmm. or do simultaneously to help prevent breakage and thing. And then there's also an at-home treatment.
Yes. There's like three steps to Olaplex.
Right.
There's one and two, and that's in-salon.
Right.
And then three is the at-home like mask thing. It's like a treatment. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But for one and two, the thing that Mara's saying, do I need Olaplex?
Yeah.
This really, Mara, this is something that is a conversation that I think your stylist should determine. I think going and asking for it is where a lot of people end up emptying their pockets, you know, and making a decision that is really like kind of a professional decision. And as when I talked to Barb, she said a lot of stylists will kind of add this on as a service where maybe they're only adding a little bit of Olaplex to the service and be like, that'll be $30 extra, ma'am.
Oh, like when you're getting the spa manicure and they're like, oh, do you want the spa version? And then like what? They put a little extra oil on.
Tea tree oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that happening right now. And that's not Olaplex's fault. That's really kind of a salon decision, you know, case by case.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of that happening right now and you have to be careful. A lot of salon owners will just bake it into the price and determine whether you need it. Like, does this
yeah.
person need it for the health of their hair?
And the colorists I've talked to often say it depends on the color you're going. Some of them will not and they don't even charge for it because they literally won't color a high lift to a pale blonde without it because mm-hmm. they need it so that the hair doesn't break.
Right.
So I mean, I'm not a colorist, but also if she's going to go bleaching again, maybe yes. But if you're doing brunette or red hair,
yeah,
like it's not a necessity. If they're charging extra, really think about it. Right?
Seriously. And if her hair is already highlighted it sounds like she's already pretty light.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I'm not sure why she would necessarily need it. Again, not a colorist, but I just think be wary of, I don't know, if I'm not super keen on like I don't know. I'm not super keen on people that are like adding in a lot of other things.
Yeah.
I think just have your wits about you when it comes to add-ons.
Yeah. And if we're talking about the damage treatment at home, which it also sounds like she might not be ready to go back in color and she just wants a damage treatment at home, that's not where you go to Olaplex, right? That's,
yeah.
What did Barb say?
Barb actually, you know, she said Olaplex is nice and everything, but she's also, if you have very damaged hair, you know, the answer is not always that. It can just be a really great conditioning mask. When I told her about Mara, and she said, if you have very highlighted damaged hair, she said, the Kérastase Chroma Riche mask.
Well, that one's not cheap either, right?
No, but at least you get, you get a few uses out of that for sure. The Orbe mask is amazing. I'm actually loving the the Lenore Grell mask.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a classic mask. And then I've mentioned this one like a bunch of times, but I'm just going to mention it one more time. Just even those Garnier 2-minute masks.
Yeah.
I use like a whole one for my hair.
Yeah.
But like I think it's just about feeding the hair. So
I think there's a point of clarification too, which is people think that Olaplex is different because they're confusing the in-salon bond-building treatment with the at-home mask. You're not doing the chemistry at home, by the way. The products you take home are pretty much just a luxury damage remedy conditioner. You're not getting something different than what you would get even at the, Ulta or Sephora.
Yeah.
It's the in-salon thing that is the one that, is really where the differentiation happens. And frankly, a lot of other brands are coming out with bond builders now too to mix in with colors. So just because they don't have Olaplex, it's like when shellac for nails. Like there's other versions of that now.
Right.
So don't go with brand name only. Go and have a discussion with your colorist. Barb knows what's up too. Thanks, Jess.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Boy, did I ever have an experience last week.
What is this dreamy voice you have on now?
Last Thursday night, I was whisked away. Actually, I took the subway and whisked myself away.
To where?
To David Mallet's new salon at the Webster.
Oh, now we're saying salon?
He's French.
What's the Webster?
The Webster, it's like a cool shop that they have in Miami, and now there's one down in Soho.
I didn't know.
Okay, so David Mallet has two gorgeous salons in in Paris, and now he's opened up one in the Webster in Soho.
And he's French. I've never met him.
And cool and gorgeous. And like, he's just like, he's a man. He's a man, baby.
Okay, go on.
And he was going to give me like a blowout. And I got there really late. It was like crazy. And his place is like, so I put some of this like on my Instagram. And it was like, the furnishings impeccable. The men that worked there were impeccable. I got there, like, my coat was taken off. I was, like, given a piece of fruit.
This is like that hotel where you're like, the carpet was thick. No, you love to be pampered.
Who does? Why is this?
Oh, I don't like to be pampered.
Weird. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the carpet was incredible. Classical music was playing.
Okay.
He looked at me, he was like, what are we doing today? And, like, touched my hair.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know what I said. I went back. I was lie down in this like sink, and this guy touched my hair. I'm going to get to the point in a second.
This is getting so sexual. I'm sorry.
This guy touched my head and touched my neck in a way that felt inappropriate.
Jeff.
In the best way.
You better not let her go to David Mallet again.
No, he can come too, okay?
Okay.
It was
so you got a lovely scalp massage.
It was the best scalp massage I've ever had in my life. It was this guy had magic hands, okay? He needs to be insured. So then I go back to the table, and he's like, what are we doing? I'm like, oh, just a little cut. He starts cutting my hair, and he starts talking about, like, not in this way that was, like, arrogant, but just, like, we start talking about, like, how I like my hair. And he's like, no, he's like, cool. Like, you want it, like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, sure. And I hear him talking about, like, how he doesn't do, like, barrel curls. I'm like, no shit. Like, I know he's not going to give me, like, a, you know, Kim
Pageant,
Kardashian
yeah.
kind of, like.
Old school Kim.
Yeah, old school Kim. But he's like, it's vulgar. It's vulgar. And he starts talking
he
about.
He probably doesn't like the beach waver so much, I bet.
probably not. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know, you just want that, like, and I'm speeding it up because I was there for, like, over an hour. He starts giving me this,
we don't need the minute by minute, but go on.
We should have a paywall, and I should give you. Then, oh, my God, then the kid with the hands came back.
You guys, next minute.
Oh, my God, hands came back.
Hands wasn't David Mallet?
No, hands like was his assistant.
Okay.
Who was, like, I mean, this kid. So then.
Okay. So he now came, we got David and Hands. What
David
are
and Hands
about?
Are back, and they're both working on my hair. It's like a menage a trois of like, like the one had like a flat iron, the other one had that blow dryer. It was so hot. And then he starts whipping this like little flat iron, and he's creating the perfect bend. And as he's telling me like how much people don't like, you know, in France, they don't do the barrel curl.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's like French nothingness. It's like French nothingness. And I'm like, we've got it. We've got it.
Yes.
And here's how he did it. He wouldn't let me take a long video of it.
Because that's vulgar.
It was vulgar. But
videos are vulgar.
He didn't want to give away his secrets.
Oh, okay. So but what did he do?
And I respected that, okay? He took this, like, I don't think it was like a GHD, but we all know like what the dimensions of your classic GHD, like 1-inch iron were.
Okay, with a beveled edge. Uh-huh.
Like a beveled edge. He took it. And my hair was pretty dry, and he just kind of whipped it around, just really. And the guys, I know you can't see,
like a like curling ribbon, almost like a fast.
You've got it. I've got it.
Yeah, I think the speed of moving it actually gives it a little bit of a bend, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wasn't like not like
twirly twirl,
not twirling it and holding it and like you know thinking for a minute. He was like
zip zip zip, zip.
Like he didn't give up. You know, and it created volume and shine
and French
and French nothingness right around the face, and the back of the hair was a little bit like rough dried.
Okay,
and then he took his serum, which he said would
Does
make
he have
me
his own
thinner,
brand?
Happier, richer, and
so
like
French.
And yeah, and something else that was amazing. I was putty in his hands, guys. Okay, and it was just I looked like Vanessa Paradis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thin.
So if we can't get to his salon in New York, do we think we bevel our?
You're going to dry your hair almost to like almost.
Do a quick flat iron, but like with a twist of the wrist.
Yeah.
And then what's the serum called? Do you remember?
It's called like the serum.
David Mallet's the serum.
But I think it's really just about like kind of effing up those pieces in the front.
So it doesn't look too perfect.
Yeah, it's not about that straight.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, it's kind of roughing up with a beveled edge the pieces in the front.
I love it.
Like,
then your hair looks like you just got laid.
It kind of looked like
that. That's where we're going with this.
Yeah.
Wow. I need to go to David Mallet's salon.
No, I left.
Oof, it's getting hot in here.
I left and I was like, I've never looked better.
Well,
I didn't get to see this, but you always look great to me.
Oh, that's very
don't
kind.
Think I'm not going to go. I'll be like, forget David. Where's Hans?
No, Hans is the best kept secret.
Okay.
In New York City.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. We're here with Ian Ginsberg, the president of CO Bigelow, which isn't just a bath and body brand, which I know a lot of you guys know about. It's also an independent pharmacy that's been in business for 170 years.
181 years.
Oh, my God. I got my math wrong. Ian, welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thanks.
Okay. So we asked you to come on the show because we want to go through some of the common and actually less common customer service questions you get. But before we get into that, let's talk about this 181 years. And this is like a family business for you, too,
it's
right?
It's a family business for 80 years.
Tell us about the history of CO Bigelow.
So most apothecaries in post-colonial America were founded by doctors. So ours was founded by a guy named Dr. Galen Hunter. And there's a plaque in the store and it says Vermont physician Dr. Hunter as the Village Apothecary Shop. And
as in Greenwich Village in New York City,
yep,
right?
Yeah, same block. And
where is it so our people can find it?
So it's on 6th Avenue between 8th and 9th.
It's been there for
181 years. So we were two doors down. That was the original store. Dr. Hunter had it, passed it on from employer to employee. A guy named Clarence Otis Bigelow took over in 1880 and changed the name. And then in 1902, he built the building we're in today for himself. And if you look outside, it's called the Bigelow Building. And so we've been in that building for 117 years. It was continually passed on from employer to employee, and my grandfather found it in 1939 and bought it with his brother-in-law. So this is the 80th year it's been in the family. So I'm third generation, and I have a son there now a couple of years already who's fourth generation.
And are you a pharmacist?
I'm third generation pharmacist. My son is also a PharmD.
That's wow. So cool.
Yeah, crazy.
So as one of the few independent pharmacies still in operation, you provide services that CVS or Walgreens cannot. Can you give me an example?
It's so hard to explain because unless you're in, so hopefully when you walk in the door, you feel very different.
I definitely feel different when I walk into a
yeah,
Bigelow. It's super chic, but like very cool and like old timey and very like very New York. I feel like I'm in a Woody Allen movie.
Well, we try. I mean, I felt years ago when I got there in the 80s, the chains were starting to come. And I kind of thought that they were taking, everybody had some experience, some great experience about going to the pharmacy with the family or with their mom or mm-hmm. dad. And I thought that the chains were taking that away. They were starting to turn it into a commodity. And I said, you know, we have this history. Let's keep that experience alive. So it's really, I always say we're in the feel-good business. Our job is to make sure that everybody walks in the door, no matter what they're there for, whether it's beauty or pharmacy, walks out feeling great. They learned something they didn't know before. They got educated. They felt better about something.
But you also do like homeopathic tinctures that have to be whipped up special, right?
Yeah, well, we still compound.
Compounding, that's
we still
what it's
compound
called.
Yeah. Prescriptions for people. And we
and
do
pets,
sell.
And pets, right?
And pets. We flavor medicines for pets.
That's
we
so sweet.
Put anything in liquid form for them. We flavor stuff for kids. And then we do carry homeopathic medicine and essential oils. And, you know, if you want Tylenol, you still have to ask for it because we want to have a conversation with you. We want you to say, hey, I don't feel good. Can you help me?
Oh, isn't that nice? That's why customer yeah. service is your thing. But Jess and I have known you now for a little while, and you've often talked about how, I'm just going to ask you about celebrities, and you can talk about dead celebrities too to make it less awkward.
Right.
But a lot of the celebrities that live in New York City apparently go to your pharmacy because you were saying like, you can't just like, if you're like Brad Pitt, you can't roll into Duane Reade and then like the Duane Reade pharmacist knows everything you get, right? So you have some high profile clientele.
Well, we kind of take care of everybody. And part of it is just because they trust us and for lots of reasons, but also because, you know, now everything's electronic. So you go to the doctor's office and you leave and this thing is sent through the air somewhere. And you don't know who's looking at it, and mm-hmm. then you don't know where it's going to. So I think people trust us. It's the same, you know, the people have been there forever. Our pharmacists are amazing.
But you've had over the years, like some famous notable names, right?
Oh sure.
And like who?
Well, it started back in the day. We, you know, Mark Twain was a customer, and Eleanor Roosevelt was a customer, and Mrs. Condé Nast was a customer. And and then through the years, you know, in the 70s, we had, you know, rock stars and the New York Dolls and the Belushis and all the Saturday Night Live people.
God.
And,
what was John Belushi's pharmacy
building. Well, we used to have a soda fountain, and back in this, you know, we took it out in '84, and all the Belushis lived around the corner. They lived in one house together, and
wow.
They used to sit at the fountain and eat. And it's
can
crazy.
Can I ask why did you take the soda fountain out?
Everybody asked that question. It was at the time it was falling apart, also in those days, they owed a lot of money for taxes. It was a concession. We didn't own it. It was mm-hmm. the same group of guys that ran it. But in those days, the state would just come in and take the money. And the fountain really needed to be rebuilt. And the guys who ran it were running it forever. And they were like beat up and tired. And they didn't want to run it anymore. And there were plenty of people that wanted to take it over. But it just kind of wouldn't be the same. It was like this thing in history that just needed to either just go away the way it was. We made a decision.
I feel like, can I just tell you, I feel like it'd be a good idea to bring it back.
Oh, I'd love to.
Wouldn't that be so much fun?
Reminds me of your ice cream.
This is what I'm saying.
She wanted to make it. What was the business idea? We've talked about it.
Like milkshakes and makeup.
Milkshakes and makeup.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Because I bet you had egg creams, didn't you?
Egg creams
and
milkshakes.
With like old-fashioned seltzer sprayer thing.
You know what the trick is? It's you bounce the seltzer off the back of the spoon.
That's to make it frothy like
to
that?
To make the egg cream. So you put all the ingredients in and then as the soda jerk, you know, the seltzer and they would bounce it off the back of the spoon.
I did work at Friendly's, so you and I could.
Really? Fribbles?
Yes.
Oh, we talk about Fribbles.
I feel like you and I have something together here. We can really make some magic.
The fountain was legendary.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, we got our soda tip. It's obvious just from the fact that you know all that like customer service means a lot to you guys. So we kind of wanted you to cull through some customer service questions. But first I have to ask you, how do people reach out and ask you these questions? Do you keep a log? I know you're going to share some of the ones that you've gotten over the years, but is this emails you're getting, phone calls? How's it work?
Well, people walk in or they call on the phone.
Still go into stores, in person.
No, they people will sit on their couch and they'll Google forever, but then they want validation. So then they'll come in and ask us the same question. They want us to validate it. Or the funny thing is, on the weekends and on holidays, you get these phone calls as the pharmacist where you know they're like sitting around the table and they're like fighting over something stupid. And they'll go, let's call the guy at Bigelow's. He's going to know.
Totally.
And then we get the question. But people still, everything has to be asked for in our place and they kind of trust us. And people walk in the door and just ask us anything. And the pharmacist-patient relationships are a little different too. So they're not afraid to ask anything.
And obviously, this isn't you asking Google because we know you know what you're talking about. You, for example, are a pharmacist. So, so let's get some answers. And
also,
I'm going to have to ask you how some of these questions came out. But the first one, I know you've been prepped a little bit, but the first one was about antibiotics and probiotics. And such an interesting question. Can you tell us what the question was and what you have to say about that?
Do antibiotics cancel out probiotics or do they kill probiotics?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
And logically, it's a very good question.
I wouldn't even think about that.
True. And now probiotics are all the rage. And, the doctor tells you should take some probiotics with your antibiotic, but then those antibiotics eat probiotics?
You really have like Greenwich Village's like intelligentsia calling you, don't you?
Yeah, because it's not – these are – in the West Village, you have fairly intelligent people asking you fairly intelligent questions that, probably need. And still don't believe what they read.
We're going to believe you. Tell us. What's the answer?
So, probiotics means pro-life and everybody's been taking them now. And so they're, they're organisms that are live that kind of help you do a lot of things. So we know they're safe. Are we sure? We think they can do some help. So the truth of the matter is, yes, antibiotics kill all types of bacteria. And they kill off the normal flora in the stomach. And so you want to eat probiotics because they replace some of the flora. And antibiotics will kill off some of them, but they don't kill off all of them, all of them. And so you want to take probiotics, but you don't take it at the same time. So if you take an antibiotic, it sits in your stomach for a little while, it dissolves, then it gets absorbed, and then you can take probiotics and put them back.
So say you got a Z-Pak because you've got some sort of like bacterial infection. You would pause on your probiotic supplements or you just don't take them at the same time?
Got it. So 2 hours before or really ideally 2 hours after. Because if they go in the stomach and the Zithromax or whatever pack you're taking dissolves in the stomach at the same time, it's just going to it's going to kill off.
You just wasted a bunch of probiotics.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great advice. Okay. I've got another one. Now, this is one that Jen and I get all the time, constantly. Somebody goes to buy a beauty product or something. They come up to the counter. Does this have parabens in it? Because I don't want them.
I hate that question.
But you seem to get it a lot. You told us you get it a lot.
We get it all the time, and when they ask me, they get a crazy answer because I think we're now all taking them out, but I think their parabens are amazing.
Say we're all taking them out, do you mean we as a culture? Retailer?
Beauty product companies are starting to take them out of. Everybody's taking them out and replacing them with things. But parabens are amazing preservatives. Someone said something to me years ago. My wife and I are involved with breast cancer organization and stuff, and someone said, you know, preservatives are efficient means of feeding 7 billion people on a daily basis, right? Mm-hmm. And we all want to take it out. And now we, you know, look, we have measles back because they don't want to vaccinate. And now all of a sudden we're getting MRSA because we're not cleaning things. And so mm-hmm. preservatives are great, especially parabens have been proven over and over to be great against all types of, you know, gram-positive, negative, all these things. And keep
gram-positive, negative, all these things?
Gram-positive bacteria, gram-negative bacteria.
Oh, gram-positive. Yeah, yeah. I thought you said grandpa.
No.
Okay.
All bacteria and mold and yeast and keep products stable for a long period of time mm-hmm. so you can open and close it and use it and not worry about it getting, you know,
funky.
You know, going bad and funky. And then, you know, there was one study or two studies that weren't even controlled studies that called them out as being bad, and we can talk about why. And all of a sudden, the world went crazy. And so the hysteria is far surpassing the science. And so the cosmetic companies are like, enough already. We'll find something else. But the other ones are okay, but frankly, they're not really as good. And, you know,
the other preservatives.
Yeah, yeah. The other ones.
What are these two studies? Were they just like journalists took them and like misreported?
Yeah. Why are these studies so like, you know, credible to the beauty industry?
So because people are freaked out by cancer. So they hear. So one of the studies goes back maybe 15 years, said that they found paraben in its normal state in breast tumor tissue.
Right.
Truth of the matter is we're eating parabens in food. Parabens are in a lot of things. We're eating it all day long. And yes, and we do excrete them really quickly because we know that by science. Mm-hmm. And they're not really sure what it was, you know, they're not really sure that it was doing anything bad. They just know it was there.
Right.
The other thing people—
There was no causation.
No causation and no control. So mm-hmm. they weren't comparing it against anything mm-hmm. else, just that. And it was small. And the other thing is they say they're, people talk about endocrine mm-hmm. disruptors.
Yeah.
So they do mimic estrogen, right? But we don't know if that's a, we don't, not that it's bad, we don't know if it's doing anything bad that way. If it's an estrogen sensitive tumor, and not all of them are, we don't even know if it's contributing to that. We've never studied that part.
Our guest last week was talking about her estrogen positive mm-hmm. breast cancer. And for
right.
that reason, she was being careful.
Right.
But you can't extrapolate that everything, parabens cause cancer.
Right. We can't extrapolate that if it was there, it was there from your cosmetic product. If it was there, that it's doing any, that if you have an estrogen sensitive tumor, it's doing anything. And frankly, you know what has more estrogen activity than parabens?
Soy. Oh, I was right.
Soy.
Thank you. I should have a podcast.
For the one for the win. And, you know, we sell natural progesterone creams and they're soy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the world went crazy and, you know, people came after cosmetic companies. So we started to move on to other options, but frankly, they're not as good. And I don't know if we'll be in the same boat 10 years from now
with
phenoxyethanol or the other ones we use.
The other parabens.
Yeah.
No, the other preservatives.
The other preservatives.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's good. And I'm sure when an irate person comes into the store, you have to do that very politically correctly when you
explain that.
For the whole thing?
They've made their mind up already. So I tried, you know, I always find it necessary to like educate if they catch me on the floor and they ask me and I go, mm-hmm. let me educate you. And, mm-hmm, and, I, mm-hmm. and I try to take them through it, but sometimes they'll listen, sometimes they won't.
Yeah.
You do what you can. A couple of questions you get are these same kind of like people have made up their mind already. And one was sulfates, tell us what sulfates are and why your customers are always asking if things contain sulfates and if they're dangerous.
I love sulfates. We make a lot of shower gels. We make hand washes and shower gels. I love me some sulfates. Sulfates are are surface activators. It's how you, it's when we started with cleansers years ago that were oils. You know, we remember in high school chemistry, like dissolves like. So mm-hmm. we used emulsifies oils to castile soap to cleanse our hands. And then we got chemical surfactants, surface activators. So they go on your, you know, what you add a little water and they foam up and they break down oils on your hands, on your hair, on your body, and that's how you clean yourself. So sodium lauryl sulfate, sodium laureth sulfate,
they're foaming agents.
They're foaming agents and mm-hmm. they're surface activators. They break down oil. Somebody got in their head that they're dangerous. Nobody ever said they were cancer causing. The only thing I think some of the groups out there say is that they're irritants. So yes, if I squirted a shower gel in your eye, it would irritate your eye.
But what about the fact that they might be drying? Some hair companies say don't put them in. They dry out your hair. They leach color from your
hair. Well, they are detergents. So yes. I guess if you color your hair, maybe you want to use a lesser detergent.
But it's not because they're dangerous. It's just because it's...
No, not at all. It's like with kids. They have tear-free shampoos, right? Mm-hmm. So tear-free shampoos use surfactants. They just use and detergents, but they they use lighter ones. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't use those on your hair like a Johnson's Baby Shampoo, let's say, because kids don't make a lot of oil on their head, so they can use lighter detergents. But if mm-hmm. you have oil, you know, if you want to wash your hair and get oil, you know, and clean out the dirt and oil, you probably need a little harsher detergent. But yeah, if you have color treated hair, anything that's going to irritate, you know, it's a detergent. So you're better off using something milder, but it's not dangerous.
But you, as someone with science training, says sulfates are not dangerous.
Not at all.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody's ever claimed anything otherwise other than they might be irritating.
It's crazy where these rumors get started.
So if you sat in a bathtub full of shower gel without water, yeah, it would irritate your skin, of course. I mean, if you sat in a bathtub of a lot of things, it would irritate your skin.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's another one that we just talked about a couple of weeks ago with a doctor, but like it comes up all the time. I need something for my dark circles, but I'm surprised that this comes up to you. Can I use a bleaching cream or do you sell one? You're really hearing this?
Yeah, people want to bleach. They think they can bleach the dark circles under their eyes with like a bleaching cream.
So. What? Who are like these people? Hydroquinone?
Like I don't know where these people are stumbling
in
from.
Like Jolene cream bleach or one of those, yeah.
Do you mean mustache bleach?
Yeah.
People think that'll get rid of under eye circles?
Well, it's a skin bleach because
people need help.
People use it as mustache bleach, but hydroquinone, you know, 2-3% can also be used for age spots, right?
Okay.
All the time because it breaks up melanin and stuff. But yeah, so people, they want to know if they can use a bleaching cream for dark spots.
And what do you say?
Well, we try to, again, we're the apothecary and we want to explain to people that dark spots are generally, you know, it's pooling of fluid and it's mm-hmm. from, you know,
not
it's
dark
blood
spots, under eye darkness.
Darkness.
Different
under
from
your
like
eye.
An age spot or melasma.
Correct.
Or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, that's blood vessels in your eye. And so, yeah, you know, the skin around your eye is very thin. So when it fills up with fluid, it gets, you know, it gets blotchy and then you have blood vessels under there. Because so if you have a night drinking or if you don't get a lot of sleep or if you sleep on your, you know, with your face down on the pillow. So we say, no, bleaching cream is not going to bleach that. You know, you can use a concealer or you can do normal things like use cucumber slices or use an astringent like witch hazel on a pad or, you know, a little ice, you know.
Do you like witch hazel for? What's that?
I love
do?
Witch hazel.
Yeah? Why?
Witch hazel is like, it's one of the, you know, it's a natural astringent. It's been around forever that, you know, Dickinson, everybody knows what that black and, you know, that black and yellow bottle looks like.
I haven't used witch hazel in the 80s.
It's great. Astringent means antibacterial?
Well, so it shrinks pores. It acts like alcohol without the drying effects. So it's great. You can use it as a toner. It tones skin. It balances skin. It'll shrink. Just
temporarily.
Temporarily. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll tighten you. So if you put—
I'm not ready to get on board with this witch hazel under the eyes just yet, but
no.
Okay.
You put witch hazel on like a cotton pad and you put it over your eyes. It's like, it's a great astringent. Yeah.
I feel like that would sting.
No, not at all. Witch hazel's mild.
I mean, you're the pharmacist.
Some people use Preparation H as an astringent too, right? Under their eyes?
Yes, I have heard that.
Right.
It's is that a vasoconstrictor? I forget
why people
do that.
Yeah, it's an astringent. It's a constrictor.
Yeah. And what do you think? Is that a good idea or not?
It can hurt you and it could possibly work. Yeah, it shrinks the skin a little bit, you know, temporarily.
So want to be a fly on the wall and see a big little apothecary. Okay, so next up, a lot of these are things people really wonder about and are common questions. But you offered this up as something that you've been asked, and I don't know where this question came from. But somebody wanted to know, can you help me find a kidney-colored lipstick?
Sick.
First, is that a common question?
Not a common question,
okay.
but we do get, I mean, we, you know, we get questions like
this
that.
This is an amazing question. Tell
one.
Me the story.
One of the team said that somebody said they wanted a kidney colored lipstick. And I said, like you said, I said, what color? I'm in the medical field. I don't even know what color a kidney is. You know?
And like which animal's kidney? Like a human kidney?
I guess a human kidney. What they really want was a reddish brown, evidently. But I don't even know where the context
Why am
of the,
I rubbing my kidneys from the outside? This is so gross.
I keep thinking, what's the movie Silence of the Lambs?
That's like
Doctor, what's his name is over here?
Anthony Hannibal, Hopkins.
It's right. Anthony Hopkins. He wants a kidney colored lipstick.
Yeah,
he's like fava beans or something.
I feel like in beauty editor job, like someone like a junior editor would be like, oh, it's a kidney colored lipstick. And I would have crossed it out and been like, brick red will work here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like terracotta maybe.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Okay. So did you suggest?
She said, yeah. So she had come up with one of them was an Ellis Foss and one of them, I forget what the other one she told me was, but yeah, she actually knew exactly, but
Ellis Foss cosmetics.
They make she gave me the number, the name of a color.
And where's the number? You don't know?
I have it written down if you want me to find out.
I mean,
yeah.
We'll put it on the blog. We have a lipstick that matches your kidneys.
Yes.
Okay.
But
thank
she knew, but she's, you know, we sometimes we have to go down the crazy train with people and you know.
I feel like I'm just going to call and ask that question just for the hell of it to like mess with them. All right, what else we got?
Okay, so do you have any 100% natural, that word again, nail polish? Five free is just not enough.
You're five free, seven free, nine free, 10 free. I mean, again, it's one of those educating things. Like nail polish has got to have, it's got to have a pigment. It's got to have some type of a cellulose, right? It's got to have some type of a plasticizer to make it, you know, pliable. And it has to have some type of volatile thing to dry, you know, to fade off into the sunset so it dries on your nail. And so, you know, yes, we've eliminated some. So they used to have formaldehyde. They got rid of formaldehyde. They got rid of, you know, toluene. They got rid of that. And then now they've gotten rid of most of them. But they're still, you know, they substitute one, you know, volatile thing for another, right? So even – so people do ask us for 100% natural. So we try to explain how nail polish works. You know, you have to have –
so it's impossible to
get – it's impossible. Even the ones – and I did some research just because I was, you know, for myself at one point. And even the ones that say they're water-based, they have to have something in there to – disappear into the sunset.
Yeah, there's some kids' nail polishes that are like water-based.
So, yeah, but they have a little more water and a little less, but there's still a volatile thing in there, you know, some type of an ether that has to evaporate.
Can I offer up an answer too? Yeah. Just from making curry recently, turmeric will stain your nails. I'm not sure that's the color that you want, but wouldn't that be a 100% natural pigment for your nails?
Yeah, but it won't be shiny and
glowing. No, it looks horrible. You have walking around with yellow nails, but it technically colors them. Just saying.
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny. People, they want, but then, you know, give them, it's like when we talk about sulfates, you know, they want something without, give them a shampoo that doesn't foam and they can't get enough sulfate again.
Yeah. So do you guys sell nail polish at the?
We do, but we're finding more and more people just go, everybody's getting their nails done. So we're not selling a lot.
I see. They're not touching up at home as much.
Not so much.
Okay.
Our customer, I hate to be snobby, but like our customer doesn't polish her own nails. I don't think.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. So some people are also looking for cruelty-free, vegan bath and body products. And then you made this note that someone had written in or called, beeswax is okay. You can pet them.
Yeah. Well,
what's the story there?
Because everybody's a different vegan. Like, how vegan are you?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, some people are vegan, but they're okay. You know, some people are hardcore where like they it's not truly vegan unless it's got the leaping bunny on it. You know,
right.
Some people are vegan, but their beeswax is okay because bees are okay. You know, some people, so people are kind of, you have to kind of identify
what
level vegan are you? And I was, you know, when we look around for vegan, there aren't a ton of vegan, like truly vegan products out there. And some of them say vegan friendly and we're kidding around.
What
in
is
the
vegan
office.
Friendly?
I don't know what that means. What does it mean?
Are more people asking for vegan products?
Some people are. Again, what's kept us alive is we really know our customer. And so we get questions and we try to satisfy everybody. But we don't – that the hardcore vegan is, you know, going someplace for hardcore vegan stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Occasionally they'll walk in and ask. But there aren't a lot of true – you know, there's not – and even the vegan stuff has plenty of chemicals in it. So are they okay with chemicals but they just want it to be vegan?
Mm-hmm.
Are they – you know, it's tough. So even like vegan – there's some vegan deodorants. But there's plenty of chemicals in them.
Yeah, yeah.
But no animals were killed in the making of them.
Well, and then no animal product.
Right.
No animal byproduct. Mm-hmm. You know, animal killing, that's a whole different...
Right. So it's not a byproduct, nor did an animal die to make it.
Right. Or beeswax.
And I recently, this is probably going to stump you, but Jess might know. I heard recently that anything with fig is not vegan.
Some people think that figs are not vegan. And I forget what the reason is.
I believe a wasp dies when it pollinates. To get a fruit of a fig, one bug is killed in the making of that flower and that fruit. Somebody please at me if I'm wrong, but it's interesting.
I can't confirm this, but it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. I know you don't like to dabble in wishy-washy science.
No, but then that's why we have to define what kind of vegan are you.
Exactly.
You
know,
right.
Well, I'm a wasp-friendly one, so.
Right. Or are you a pescatarian? Or what's the other one they call it? Nothing with a face?
Oh, is there a name for that?
Yes.
I don't know what nothing with a face is.
Yeah, I thought
do
there was.
Do bees have faces?
Sure they do. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then that's another question. Does a bee have a face? I guess
I think it has a face. Yeah. I've seen him.
Welcome to our philosophical podcast.
Yeah. No, it's and welcome. Sit on our side of the table with that.
Yeah. Okay, so here's another question. I'm sure you get this from a lot of nervous people. How do I pass a drug test?
That's it. Yeah.
Asking for a friend.
That's a question.
And what's the mood like? Like, tell me, like, what this person is like. Like, what's the profile?
Well, it used to be like a secretive question, you know. But I think now it's more people are more comfortable asking. But yeah, so my son's friends may call him and say, "How do I pass a drug test?" Or a friend of a friend may call, or mm-hmm. I'll get a call from somebody, or people will just call you on an afternoon. They don't tell you now. Used to be they wouldn't ask you face to face. Now they're kind of comfortable just telling you, "I need to pass a drug test. How can I do it?" And I tell them, if the company wants to find it, they'll find it, right? So you can try, but it's not easy to beat them. Pot or weed is a good month. If you're a smoker, it's a good 30 days before it's totally out of your system, though they can't find it on a urine test. Most get take urine tests now. And if you're going to try to drink a lot of water to beat it, they test the sample and it says it's dilute. And they'll just
what about these kits they sell online? So
some of them sell artificial. You can buy artificial urine online.
Oh, I thought it was like a kit. Like you drink this thing and then your pee is clear.
Oh, yeah. That's why I thought people do. Like they take like – pee clearer.
They try a whole bunch of different things, right? So there are these pee clearer things, but frankly, it's in your it's metabolized at a certain level. You can probably try to speed it up, but if they want to find it, they'll find it. I don't know how great those things work. Some people try to buy artificial urine. Some people try to take a ton of Golden Seal and drink gallons of water for
days.
That's
what I was thinking.
People take Golden Seal, but
that's an herb, right?
Yeah.
What does that do?
It's supposed to help it speed up the metabolism of it because drugs are measured by half-life. It's the time it takes to excrete it. Marijuana has a long half-life. It's like a week, and it's generally four half-lives for you to clear it out of your system where it's really not that detectable.
So that's why you said a month,
four weeks. Yeah, yeah. So
okay.
Pot's the longest. Other drugs are shorter. But it's hard. If they want to find it, they'll find it.
What do you mean if they want to? I don't understand.
Like the threshold levels.
The threshold levels. It depends on some companies will do a more stricter test.
Oh.
Some will do it.
They're like, let's just make sure they're not like a total stoner.
You'll see a level. And we, we drug test our employees too. And I'll get sometimes we'll get a test back that'll say dilute sample. They tried to drink 5 gallons of water the day before and they know it's dilute. They measure
what
the
if they're just really hydrated?
Yeah, well, maybe.
That was my New Year's resolution. Maybe I have diluted sample right now.
And maybe you drink. Yeah. They test the temperature sometimes. They'll it depends.
Oh, because people will like pour in.
Oh, well, they use artificial. But then people will buy. I mean, people go to really crazy extremes. They'll buy a urine bag from us because we have a medical supply place and they'll fill it with or they'll take
somebody else's.
Right. And they'll keep it in their bodies to get it to body temperature.
And then just squeeze it out into the...
Yes. If they're being watched, yeah.
Where will they buy the pee?
You can buy artificial you can buy artificial urine online.
But yeah. Like, wouldn't it say like women? Like, if I'm a woman, wouldn't it be like male pee?
Yeah, you can buy male or female pee, and you can have a friend.
But wouldn't it be like black woman's pee, and I'm like a white woman?
No, I don't know if they'll go that far. I don't know if they'll go that far. But you can also have people have friends.
What can you tell from a person's pee?
Yeah, like that's what I mean. Like, or like in my 30s, will be like 50-year-old like pee.
No, in a regular drug screen,
like Russian man's pee. Like, well, I don't know.
It's not a doctor's. It's not a doctor's screen. It's just a drug screen.
So it's not a DNA or a blood sample.
Yeah,
it's just urine.
Why do you think it's just urine? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Though, to be honest, she's right. I'm sure some like blood skin cells would be in a sample or a white blood cell here and there.
On the drug screen, they're just screening for drugs.
Right,
they're not
but
doing a
technically,
full.
If someone took that pee, they could figure
absolutely.
Out who you are.
Absolutely.
Well, let's put our tinfoil hats on and get real crazy with this.
Yeah, don't
one.
Bring that to the doctor's office for a regular screen. But for a drug screen, they're just, they're testing for marijuana, they're testing for coke, they're testing for other stuff.
Okay, but so a month usually you need to.
But yeah, for pot, it's a good month. If you're a smoker, a good month.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. I think we've all learned quite a lot from this. Okay.
A lot of information.
We're at our last question before we get to talk about you and some of your favorite products. This is somebody asked you, how do I use a bath sponge?
Yeah. So the background on that is guys will come in, they'll say, I use way too much shower gel.
Okay.
Like, how do I use less shower gel? And we'll say,
I thought this was for like geriatric.
Yeah, I thought
stuff.
It was sponge bathing we were going to talk
about.
No.
We can talk about that. But it's guys say like, how do I, I use way too much shower gel. Like, how do I use less shower gel?
Like they're burning through it and they want to get their money's worth.
Yeah. And so we'll say like,
is this a common question from men?
We've gotten it a bunch of times. Yeah. And they'll say, well, use a bath sponge or like one of those
nylon.
What do they
do? Just pouring it in their hand?
Yeah. Yeah. Pouring like a hand. Like
you'd go through a Dr. Bronner's in like a week if you
did
that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you need a lot of that.
Yeah, right. Because it has fewer Gentler?
Because that's a Castile soap. Yes.
I do love Dr. Bronner's. Okay, so what kind of sponge do you recommend?
Like one of those nylon things, you know?
Don't they get really gross? We've wondered
They do if you don't hang them. So you need to hang them so that the water drips out of them because then they'll dry. But if you have them like sitting on the counter where the water just sits there, that's when they get like funky.
How do you feel about those yellow loofah ones that look like a sea sponge?
Those are cool too. But again, you have to hang them because if they don't dry out, then that's what happens when you don't use preservatives. That's what's happening inside. You know those products you buy now that are in black bottles so you can't see what's inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's going on inside.
Like mold is what you're saying?
Well,
you just don't know.
You just don't know. You just don't know. You know, that's what happens when you don't use preservatives.
Okay.
Nasty.
All right. So you obviously get to try every product. Tell us some of the lines that you carry and some of other than your own products, too. Right. We haven't even talked about C.O. Bigelow products.
Those.
Can we just talk about the rose cream that has been around how long? I want to ask you about your favorite products, but.
Oh. So we used to make a rose cold cream, which we don't make anymore.
Okay.
But that's been around. It was like the first product we ever made in the apothecary was a rose cold cream.
But you also make like a salve.
We make a rose salve. It's been around a lot of years.
What's your oldest product? It's like.
Probably our oldest product is probably the lemon. Well, that's a real formula. It's probably the lemon body cream. And that's a formula. We resurrected it later on.
Yeah.
But that's been around since 1870.
And people can still buy this now?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, the lemon body cream? You've never tried it?
No.
It's pretty great.
It's like a meringue pie. It's
delicious.
I love
lemon anything.
And the kind of the basis of it is you would go to the apothecary, you know, that was a place where you went to get diagnosed and treated. Mm-hmm. And so you'd go to the apothecary and say, hey, my skin's really dry and can you have something for me? And the pharmacist would go in the back and mix up something. And so he would throw in, cocoa nut oil and shea butter and make this moisturizing cream. And then we always want to put a signal in there that it's working, like make it refreshing. That's why a lot of old pharmacy products have like menthol and phenol and camphor.
Ooh.
And so we put lemon oil and lemon extract in there because it's, you know, it was refreshing. And
but without being drying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then a little carrot oil in there for a little source of beta carotene. And all of a sudden we had this yellow cream that smelled like lemon.
Mm.
But it's generally a colorant, fragrance-free product that smells like lemon and looks yellow.
Gotta try
it. And that's one of our oldest products, and that's probably the most popular. And then the rose salve.
And what are some of your favorites, not just from your line, but others that you sell? I know you said you were like the first to bring Marvis toothpaste to the U.S.
I mean, I love taking kind of mundane tasks and making them really fun. So if you have to brush your teeth every day, it should be like, you know, let's go to Tuscany or shave or, you know.
Let's go to Tuscany every morning.
Like a vacation to Italy.
You know, and I start singing, you know, singing in Italian. I use it every day.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Which flavor?
I like the classic mint.
Okay.
But
It's powerful.
I mean, it goes back to it's still in Italy. You know, everybody smoked, so their toothpaste was much more fragrant. And you know, you brush your teeth. You want to kiss everybody when you walk to work in the morning.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it. It started as a Mr. and Mrs. Marvis going back maybe 30, 40 years. They had a women's version, a men's version, then evolved into this flavor thing. And we actually represent them in the U.S., so we distribute it. And it's a great family that's been making, you know, that's the family in Florence.
What are some of your other like go-to, like in the morning, what's in your medicine cabinet?
We import this shaving cream from Italy called Purazzo. So I use this Purazzo shaving cream. They actually make ours also. I love Aven products. I think they make beautiful skincare that's really reasonably priced and pretty effective. So I like one of their products in the morning.
Which one?
I like their Physiolift eye cream.
Physiolift
eye cream I like. Cleansers, I use ours, there's a Clarins men's cleanser I like to use.
What's the C.O. Bigelow one?
Deluxe Gentle Cleanser.
Deluxe
so it's
Gentle
for
cleanser.
Normal to dry skin.
Okay.
Doesn't foam a lot, but it's kind of, especially in the winter when your skin's real dry and you're old like me, you know, you need it.
Sounds like a lovely mix of products.
Yeah.
What about men's fragrance?
I
feel like you're like a real gentleman.
I like eau de colognes. Mm. So I alternate between, I love just Acqua di Parma, classic. Yeah,
so nice. Apple
you like Parma. The Italians,
so
huh?
Yeah.
And I like Lalabo Bergamot.
Okay.
A very Italian ingredient as well.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Everything's like fresh.
I like, because it kind of wakes you up and makes you feel alive. It's
you're like you're in Italy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're an energetic
And then I have
guy.
Pizza for breakfast.
Okay, so what didn't we ask you that we should have asked you on our podcast as we come to the close here?
What didn't you ask me?
It's not a trick question. Just wondering if there was anything you thought of that is a go-to story or answer that we didn't ask?
No, I mean, I was born, just that, you know, I was born and raised there. It's been in the family for 80 years. My grandfather bought it with his brother-in-law. It was a family business. My father was born and raised there. My parents were both.
It shows. You have a lot of pride in what you do.
Oh, it's fun. It's the greatest job ever.
I don't know about some of those people coming in with those questions if I want to deal with them.
I mean, we change people's lives every day. We're dealing with people, you know, on the pharmacy side, we're dealing with sick people who their choices these days are so limited that, you know, visiting the doctor is a miserable experience. Going to the chain store is miserable. So we deal with sick people. We make, you know, we change their lives someplace where they're only friends. Right. Mm-hmm. And even on the beauty side, we like, you know, we make people happy. So we either teach them something they didn't know, you know, give them a little tip they didn't know about and send them home with something that's got an amazing story that they could tell all their friends about. Like, let me tell you about this stuff from Italy and, you know, let me tell you about this stuff from France that they make by hand in this little batch. And so we're storytellers. We make people's day. So it's kind of a fun gig.
You made our day.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Thank you so much
for coming.
The pod.
Thanks. No, this is really exciting.
We'll pop by the store. Everyone pop by
Come
Big
by
Low.
And visit us. Yeah. Pop in, say hello to Alec, my son. Say hello to me. Say hello to, we have a great team.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. It's time to raise a wand.
Raise a wand.
Raise a wand. I am raising a wand to a hat.
Oh, okay.
A hat. I bought myself a hat.
Is it Fascinator?
No.
What is it?
It's a big old sun hat.
Okay.
I bought myself a Coolie Bar hat.
Oh, Coolie Bar. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I've been moaning about it for like the past week. It is a UPF, like, you know, or UP, whatever. You know, it's a sun protective hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought one in preparation for my trip to Miami last week or this past week. And I have to tell you, you know, SPF, it's great, but you really, in that strong sun, you know, just, you know, you're going to be like out on the beach, you want that little something extra. And I actually learned about it from, it's a very funny story. I interviewed Karen Elson for Harper's Bazaar last month or, you know, a few months ago. The article's in this month, so go out and get it. She said she learned about it from Linda Evangelista. They were on a shoot, and she was like, Linda was wearing this big dorky hat on set. And she's like, where'd you get that thing? She's like, it's my Coolie Bar.
But it didn't look dorky.
Well, okay. I think maybe Linda's was like, you know,
like,
I think maybe Karen's just being sweet and silly.
Can I ask you two questions about the Coolie Bar?
Yeah.
One, did your head get sweaty?
No.
Okay, that's excellent.
Mine was like straw wicker.
Because some of these UPFs are really dense fabrics.
Oh, no. This is like wicker.
So even though it feels like wicker, it's still blocking sun, which is good. Two, how does it pack?
Oh, mine is very packable.
Like it's not all bent up weird.
Like, I mean, I've only had it for one trip, so like talk to me in 6 months. But like,
you know what I mean, though, with a straw hat.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I got a new hat to begin with, because my old one was like Indiana Jones looking, like after like so
like
long.
The Coolie Bar so far.
The Coolie Bar so far is packing well, but I didn't like try to jam it in my suitcase. But I have been like tucking it under my arm and like, you know, it's been on the go. But like, I was like, okay, if it's supermodel approved and it's going to protect my face and it's under $50.
Oh, nice.
It's good enough for me.
And you know what we should put on the blog? Which exact one you have? So that,
I will.
Okay, we'll put a link to it.
But there are many
it.
Styles for all types.
Okay. I'm going to raise a wand. Maybe a year ago, Tony and Tina came on.
Yeah, sure.
And she had this fabulous lavender bergamot aura spray that she gave
us. Yeah.
I'm not raising a wand to that, but that is amazing. I used it all up so quickly because I was doing my sheets with it. Mm-hmm. And the smell is like, lavender is one thing, but this is a whole other thing. The bergamot just like kicks it up a notch. So I was being cheap, but also DIY. And I didn't, Tina, I'm going to buy another one, I promise. But I was like, you know what? I love mixing fragrances. Maybe I can make my own. So, and I've been into oils and stuff. So I went on Amazon looking for like bergamot essential oil you don't often see. And I found this thing. Okay, I want to make sure I don't get the name wrong because I don't know where else they sell it. Anju Essentials Oil Gift Set. Basically, you get 18 little 5-milliliter like oils in a set.
Oh, cool.
For $29.99, which is genius. Are these the highest quality essential oils? I don't know. But remember, people, I'm not putting these on my face or anything. This is for like a sheet spray.
Yeah.
And within there, they have both the bergamot and the lavender. Zhuzh, put that in there with a little water and oil, and I have to shake it now because I'm not a chemical formulator. But I made my own little linen spray.
That's awesome. I love the creativity.
Also, don't you love how they're all in like little rainbows?
I did notice that. Very chic.
So you can be your own little perfumer. I'm not ready to say that these are going to be like, you know, skincare grade essential oils for $29.99 for 18 of them, but anyway. It's really fun.
Wash your hands after touching them. Don't touch your eye.
No. And I'm just spraying it on the sheets. Yeah. And then they sit all day. And then when I pull back the sheets at night, it's just like a little breeze of like loveliness. So I'll put a link to those two on the blog. Raise a wand.
Nice. Thanks so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends, family, and everyone else in your network about the show. Be sure to follow us on all the social networks at Fat Mascara.
And if you want to drop us a line to tell us how great we are, or complain, or suggest something that we should talk about, it's info@fatmascara.com. You can also give us a rating on iTunes if you like what you hear. How many stars?
Five?
5 stars, please.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.